I'm Josh Scherer.
And I'm Nicole Inaiti.
And we're the cooks responsible for all the strange dishes on the internet's most watched daily show, Good Mythical Morning with Rhett and Link, and our own YouTube channel, Mythical Kitchen.
Between the two of us, we've worked almost every weird job the food industry has to offer, and we've developed some pretty strong opinions.
The strongest opinions, Nicole. Opinions so strong they need to be heard on an easily consumable auditory medium.
Does pineapple belong on pizza?
Are boneless wings just poser nuggets?
Is cereal soup?
Follow and listen to A Hot Dog is a Sandwich.
Free on the Odyssey app and everywhere you get your podcasts.
Welcome back. Chunky's coming to you live on 106.7 The Fan and the Team 980 here in the DMV. 910 The Fan, 105.1 FM in Richmond. We are streaming live on the free Odyssey app, iHeartRadio, and TuneIn. And you can watch us on the Monumental Sports Network, brought to you by Crop Metcalf. They're the official heating and cooling company of the Junkies. It's Bish, EB, and JP joining us right now on the Rude Guest Hotline. Rude's the most reliable heating and air conditioning products in the DMV. It is Mike Jones, NFL senior writer for The Athletic, and he's at one of the joint practices in Pittsburgh. I guess it's the Steelers and Buccaneers. What's going on, Mike?
Hey, how you guys doing this morning?
So I guess we should maybe start with the Steelers. What's your sense of their expectations for Aaron Rodgers this season?
They're feeling a lot better. I mean, obviously they felt good about him. Otherwise they wouldn't have gone out and courted him and waited as long as they did for him to make up his mind. But after a little bit of a kind of rough start to training camp, he has kind of appeared to be rounding into form. He feels comfortable in the offense now. They say that they're, I wasn't here early in camp. I was here the other day. Their offense is starting to catch up to the defense and looking more fluid. So we'll see what happens. Today is going to be a big indication of where things stand with their offense because their starters aren't playing in the preseason game, but they're going to go against the starters of the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. And so it's a good measuring stick of their progress. But he feels good. He seems like he's energized, seems to really enjoy being here in Pittsburgh. I think a return to a historic and very stable franchise similar to what he had in Green Bay has been refreshing for him. There's questions about their offense, their offensive line, but as far as he goes, he's starting to look better.
From the people you're talking to and what you've seen, what's been the link between he and DK on the field? Has that been pretty smooth?
Yeah, you can tell he looks to him. They definitely have spent a lot of time, even on the side alone on their own, working to develop that connection. And it's going to be important because after DK, there's just like a lot of question marks as far as who his other targets are going to be. They haven't had Jonnu Smith, the tight end that they acquired, who's, a talented tight end. He's been injured, and so they're hoping to bring him along, bring him back soon. But as far as the number two and number three wide receivers go, very much up in the air because of just a lack of experience and some injuries. So that connection with DK is super important. And, definitely like in the red zone, you see him going to him, and that looks like they do have a connection that's budding.
I'll tell you what, they're going to be in a tough spot if – let's just say Aaron Rodgers has an okay year. They win 7, 8, 9 games, miss the playoffs by a spot or, game or two. And then they have a, kind of a lower first round pick. I mean, they're certainly going to be in the market for, I know they drafted Will Howard last year, but, he was a sixth rounder. I don't expect him to be the future, but they're going to have to draft a quarterback and they're going to be in that same position that they were when they took Pickett. It could be a tough spot for them, but maybe it works out. I don't know.
Well, see, that's the thing is, like, they never are bad enough to be in position for a top, tier quarterback.
Right.
And they don't move up. I think it, as impressive as Mike Tomlin's streak of never having a losing season is, it also costs them. But they had a chance to draft, Shedeur Sanders in the first round. They passed on him. They passed on all the quarterbacks in the first round. So if this does not go well, they're right back where they were. And even if it does go well, say it goes well, then it's even worse because they're even lower in the first round because Rodgers, this sounds like it's going to be a one-year thing. And, they're going to be in another tough spot as far as getting a quarterback next year. But they really need this to pay off at least for now. And, they're trying to snap that streak of 8 straight years with no playoff wins. and they're hoping Rodgers can help them do it.
On the flip side, the Buccaneers are a team that they're not really talked about like the Eagles, the Commanders, the Rams, the Packers, like the top contenders in the NFC, but they've won the division four straight years, and I know Baker really likes the receiver that they drafted in the first round. What are the expectations for Tampa?
They feel really good about what they have there. It's pretty impressive the way they retooled, kind of rebuilt on the fly after Tom Brady. They didn't take a bunch of steps backward. I don't want to say lucked into Baker, but they got a quality quarterback at a really bargain deal because he was bouncing around and trying to resurrect his career, and he wound up being the perfect fit for them. They've drafted really well and on both sides of the ball, and that's helped them. They feel like their defense is going to be healthier this year than what it was last year. There was a lot of duct tape and glued and pasted together of that thing last year. And, Todd Bowles, when I was down there a couple weeks ago, talked about how just if they're able to stay healthy, it gives them the opportunity to really have some impactful guys and for their defense to kind of ease some of the pressure on the offense. And, they have some injuries along their offensive line. They're waiting for Tristan Wirfs to get back 100%. He's not going to be ready for the start of the season, but they still feel very good about the position of their team. There's question marks all over their division, but they're still the favorites there. And if they're able to stay healthy, then they have, talent both sides of the ball and should be able to make another run in the playoffs.
What team from last year that either won their division or got into the playoffs do you think may take a step back? The one that kind of jumps out to me right now, just because of the quarterback situation, the injury situation, is the Rams. And they won 10 games last year, but and you can fill me in more on Stafford's injury. But he hasn't practiced fully yet with that back injury. But maybe it's not the Rams. Maybe it's somebody else in your mind. But is there a team that comes to mind for you that might take a step backwards?
Yeah, there are two. I mean, the Rams are definitely one of them. I mean, it's a really kind of a precarious situation that they're in there when, you're hoping that his back holds up for a whole season in a game where the quarterback takes such a punishment. I don't know if they're able to. If he was healthy, then I felt like they were in position to be able to build. I mean, you get Devontae Adams. You've got young guys on your defensive side of the ball that are continuing to ascend, and so they should be. But if that back's not right, then, yeah, they could take a step backwards. It's going to be an interesting division to see if San Francisco bounces right back or with all these young guys in place of the veterans that they kind of had to purge for salary cap reasons. Is there going to be growing pains? Seattle, they've got a new quarterback with Sam Darnold. The Cardinals maybe have the least amount of questions, and they finally have some continuity, so we'll see. But the Rams could definitely take a step backward. Another team that I think is the Detroit Lions. Yes, they still have a lot of talent, but you lose your offensive coordinator and your defensive coordinator, and I don't think that you can expect to just have a seamless transition. They were grooming their defensive coordinator, so there shouldn't be as much of a drop-off. But Ben Johnson was a mad scientist, and they bring in, a new offensive coordinator who had been in Denver with Sean Payton and has, connection with Dan Campbell. And so they have similar philosophies, but it's not the same thing. And so there's going to be a lot of pressure on Jared Goff and that offense to continue to dominate the way they did. And I just don't know if it's possible. And so I think Detroit, at least even early on, might struggle a little bit out of the gates as all the players get used to a new defense and a new offensive play caller. And you have teams like Green Bay that I think are going to be better this year. And there are questions about Minnesota because, J.J. McCarthy, first year starter, even though he's got a lot of talent around him, and obviously questions about the Bears. So maybe that helps the Lions a little bit, but I just don't think that they can remain elite given the growing pains that it just takes to get used to a new way of doing things.
What about, dare I say, and I'm just getting a little skittish here, Washington could be that team. If you really look at it, right, we got so obviously there's gonna be a regression. You're not gonna win six games like in the final possession, right? Some of that's gonna come back to earth.
90% on fourth downs.
I mean, it's so crazy. Some of the things that went
Hail Mary.
They only beat one playoff team. Listen, I'm bullish on the team, but No Terry there. I think eventually he'll be there. He has to be there. I don't think he even missed one game. It would hurt him. But the offense has been down. Obviously, Terry's going to help a lot. But I'm just getting a little bit nervous as the schedule ramps up, as our offense, you know, has really been sluggish by all accounts. The natural regression that's going to happen. Washington could be, I hate to say it, we could be a team that disappoints.
I think they're going to be a better team. I think the depth is better, so I think the floor raises. I don't know, like you said, that they win more, that they're actually better in the win-loss column.
Right.
I still think they're a 10-win team. But, man, like, to be better than last year, you've got to get past the NFC Championship game, right? I mean, the bar is super, super high. So I think they're going to be competitive. Yes, they're going to get this Terry thing taken care of. You know, they need him, and I think he's probably worth more to them than other teams around the league when I ask about him. Mm-hmm. A lot of people say he's good, but he's in that 7 to 12 range. He's not a top 5 wide receiver, and here he's like a number 1. So I think they know that too, but like, okay, the two sides, everybody's got to give a little bit to get this thing done. And you don't want, you know, a slow start offensively. Like you said, the schedule is ramped up. They can't sneak up on anybody this year, and so they need as much continuity and as little hiccups as possible. Because, yeah, last year, mm-hmm. all those consecutive one final play victories, it's just not going to happen. It was amazing. You know, they're hoping that it won't come down to those type of finishes mm-hmm. this year because they're improved. But again, that's a lot. You're asking a lot to be able to top that.
And I think the division is going to be tougher than it was last year because I think the Giants are going to be better.
Yeah, scared of the Giants. I can't even.
They're not going to be a 3-14 team. Okay. Now I'm not sure when Jackson Dart's going to start playing, but I just think overall they're better with what they've added. And then if Dak stays healthy, Dallas is going to be better than a 7-win team. So I just think that Philadelphia may come back down to the pack a little bit, maybe Washington. Overall, I just think the East will be tougher.
No, the division's going to be tougher. I don't think the Philadelphia comes down. I think they're just a freaking machine.
Okay.
You know,
I'm just saying 14 wins. I mean, that's kind of crazy.
Yeah, true. Okay, as far as like win-loss record, they've got such a great offensive, you know, front and a defensive front. They continue to invest on those sides of the ball, mm-hmm. And they know what their bread and butter is. While everybody is still, you know, trying to catch them. And, yeah, the Giants are going to be better, but I don't know, like, how much Russell Wilson actually still has left in the tank. They still have they're working on improving this roster, but they're not contender-ready. So they might be kind of pesky, but I don't think that they're going to challenge or anything like that. But Dallas is definitely a team that if they're healthy, then – they're, you know, a problem. And so that's why I think it's the Eagles and I think it's Washington and Dallas, you know, mm-hmm. duking it out for that number 2 spot. And the Giants still bringing up the rear, even though they're going to be a little improved.
It's Mike Jones from The Athletic. Thanks for joining us as always.
Enjoy the joint practice today, buddy.
Thank you, Mike.
All right, thank you, guys. Good talking to you.
All right, buddy.
Our NFL Talk on the Fans presented by Paramount Plus. You can't count on much these days, but you can always count on Sundays with the NFL on CBS and Paramount Plus. Watch your local NFL game live every Sunday on CBS and Paramount Plus. All season long, visit ParamountPlus.com/NFL to get started today.
I'm Josh Eyre.
And I'm Nicole Inaiti.
And we're the cooks responsible for all the strange dishes on the internet's most watched daily show, Good Mythical Morning with Rhett and Link, and our own YouTube channel, Mythical Kitchen.
Between the two of us, we've worked almost every weird job the food industry has to offer, and we've developed some pretty strong opinions.
The strongest opinions, Nicole. Opinions so strong they need to be heard on an easily consumable auditory medium.
Does pineapple belong on pizza?
Are boneless wings just poser nuggets?
Is cereal soup?
Follow and listen to A Hot Dog is a Sandwich
free on the Odyssey app and everywhere you get your podcasts.
Reminder to our fans who listen via 910 The Fan in Richmond or 105.1 FM in Richmond, I'm going to be joining AWOD this Saturday at River City Roll for his football fest. Kicks off at 6 p.m. So hope to see you there. Stop by, say hello. It's in Scott's Edition.
I
don't mean to hammer flame, but isn't there a breakfast penalty for the tardiness?
Sure.
Yeah.
So I'm just bringing it up. I mean,
I'll hook you tomorrow.
Tomorrow?
Yeah, okay. Just have
it, you can set it up and boom.
I'll tell you what I'm not getting. I'm not getting hotcakes and sausage. Yeah. Even though we have syrup here, but I'm not doing that.
You lost a little faith yesterday.
Just going to get a breakfast sandwich.
Yeah, I don't care. We could do
Bethesda Bagels.
Bethesda Bagels down the street, right? They're always good.
That's cool. I think Mar's had a tough time getting a hold of somebody as he's called the last few times.
Is that right, Mar?
Yeah, I kind of have beef with the local Bethesda Bagels.
Because are they basically not open yet when we call them?
Sorry, what'd you say?
Or maybe they're busy.
Are they open when you call
them?
No,
they just don't answer the phone. Out of all the locations, they refuse to answer the phone.
Yeah.
I mean,
I get it. I don't have my phone. If you call me, the likelihood of me answering my phone is like less than 5%. Because I don't have a ringer on it. And I often don't feel the vibration.
Gotcha. Right.
I'll just see missed call.
All right, let's open up the entertainment page, Mr. Bickle.
Yeah. Entertainment page, of course, driven by BMW Fairfax. Love BMW Fairfax. DC's only BMW Center of Excellence Award winner. For the ultimate buying experience on your ultimate driving machine, get over to BMW Fairfax. Ask for Miriam. She's the general manager over there. Absolute rock star. Of course, you can check out their entire selection right there on their website, bmwfairfax.com. When you get there, make sure you mention me. That helps everybody. And as I always say, they're going to treat you like a rock star regardless. And you're going to there's nothing like driving a BMW. Trust me. The handling, just the way, the steering, it's just there's something about it. All right, Valdez, you can help with this. So Taylor Swift, I guess, did she do Travis and Jason Kelce's podcast? She kind of showed up, snuggled up next to Travis.
Well,
is that
I think
what it was?
They teased a big guest, and yeah, then she kind of double teased it with her social media and website, and then everyone knew that she was a guest, and then it dropped. The episode dropped New Heights mm-hmm. at 7 o'clock last night.
Okay, and then.
I think currently the episode where it's a 2 hour long interview that they do where Travis and Taylor are together and Jason's wherever he is.
Yeah.
So far has 9 million hits since
my understanding
o'clock.
Is there must have been some sort of live airing of it too, because that crashed. So maybe there was a live stream of it too and the downloads.
No, I mean, it went live at 7.
Okay, so maybe that's what it is.
So, like, it wasn't a live stream. It had already been taped.
It had already been recorded. Okay.
And then it was, I guess, uploaded to the New Heights
so
YouTube
you
at 7.
So you watched it.
I watched 10 minutes of it.
I don't know how you could stomach that because it's just a little too much for me.
Well, it's a big event.
All right.
Like, I kind of get swept up in the pageantry of it.
I understand interest. It's just a personal thing I have. But what was your take? I thought your take was interesting.
Oh, so I watched 10 minutes of it, and number one, Jason is obviously the better broadcaster of the Kelce brothers.
He has a better sense of everything.
Yes, he's a little more thoughtful. He has better timing, has better instinct.
Right.
Is he kind of the host?
Well, Travis and Taylor kind of, Travis and Jason kind of share that.
Yeah.
But Jason is obviously the leader of the show.
He's the smarter of the two.
He's a little more media savvy.
Yeah.
Travis, I think he might be stupid.
Yeah.
He's the
Ron Gronkowski of the.
It's not like that, but it's just, I don't know. He's a little mild mannered when he's speaking. Like, it's just.
Was he being different with Taylor there versus how he normally is? Have you watched the show without? Or listen to it.
This was my first time actually putting a lot of effort into their show. I've seen clips before.
Maybe he's on his best behavior because
what really struck me is like how beta Travis was during the entire interview.
Right.
And I can understand that because Taylor is a
big star.
Big superstar, strong woman, and he's just like sitting there being super lovey, almost simping for her.
It's just too much.
It was very off-putting because like no guy acts like that in a relationship, I feel like. Guys can be very supportive of their significant other.
But
no one is going, I love
you. So he was kissing up to her, really?
It was kind of like that.
A little too much.
Yeah, but Mar brought up a great point is I personally thought like it's almost like he's walking on eggshells around her because he's a scared that like, he's
going to.
No. I thought he was going to be scared. Like she would break up with him. Like he's so happy to be there. Like he's just willing to nod his head, say yes, do anything that she says.
But don't you think he's over that? He's been dating for like a year and a half now. No,
I don't know. I don't think so. But also, Mar brought this up, and I thought this was a fantastic point that Travis is scared of the Swifties.
Yeah.
Like he can never be in public, not confrontational, but, you know, disagree or, you know, say, hey, I think this instead of that.
You can't even disagree with Taylor. The Swifties are going to be after you.
No, I mean, he's a great football player, but that aside, he is whipped.
He came across very whipped.
Yeah.
He doesn't want to ruin this lifestyle he's now created where he's dating the biggest pop star in the world. He doesn't want any backlash. He will do whatever she says. She says jump, he says how high.
I definitely got that vibe.
I don't doubt that. The one thing I'll say is I've seen a few clips of the heights.
Yeah.
I saw one where they had the actor from Ted Lasso, I'm forgetting his name.
The main guy.
Yeah, Sudeikis.
Yeah.
They both, from what I've seen, is fawn over their guests. That's kind of their thing. They really fawn over the guests.
And then
when it comes to Travis Kelce, I think he's a jock. Like, in terms of being dumb, didn't you just do a story about how he said he couldn't read or something like that?
He was doing SNL.
Yeah. He was doing SNL, and he had problems doing the
reading
table
the teleprompter.
Yeah.
It wasn't the teleprompter.
It was one or the other.
Yeah.
I know. I mean... I hate to perpetuate that stereotype, but okay, maybe that's simply what it is.
I'll tell you what.
I was just thrown, like, when you think of a football player, you think of, like, a macho alpha dude, and this guy is just, like, wrapped around her finger.
I do think that the Kelces, now, I only saw the show once, and maybe got canceled. Jason Kelce had, like, a late-night talk show on ESPN for a while, where his wife was... I don't know if she was the announcer. She was kind of in a booth.
She was tough, though. She was a tough girl.
Yeah, and so
she was breaking his balls.
It seems to be like that's
and everything.
Yeah, it seems to be maybe a Kelce brother bit.
Mm. Was she the star of the pod?
Who, Taylor?
Yeah,
of course. Yeah. It had to be.
No, I'm saying in terms of personality. Obviously, I know she's a bigger name.
Well, she was telling she told a story.
My guess
I turned it off when she was talking.
Or is she
about
boring
getting...
too?
After she started talking about getting the rights to her music, and then Travis was crying with her about it.
You're kidding.
I mean, he was on the verge of tears.
I didn't realize I was in the room back here with a couple Rico Suaves, date doctors, guys that got everything all figured out with women. I mean, Travis Kelce's on the cover of GQ. He's dating the most popular woman on the planet, and these guys are calling him a simp, and he doesn't know what he's doing. come on.
It was weird.
Valdez is a certified Travis Kelce hater. He has been for years. He's got some hang up with him. I don't understand it, but...
Why do you hate Travis Kelce?
It's because the Chiefs... pull down the Ravens' pants every postseason and smack that booty.
I think he's looking way into this.
You know? It's about 2 inches deep. I'm looking into it. I figured it all out.
Well, I watched it, and I'm just telling you what I observed.
Mm-hmm. I think
Drab's lashing out because he might be like Travis.
Are you?
No.
It doesn't wear the pants in the relationship.
That's not true.
I think in his relationship he does.
Thank you, Bickle.
Yeah. From what I've been told.
Thank you.
I mean, his wife leaves a stove on all day. I mean, you know, I mean, he's got to lock that down.
I mean, no one has ever questioned my manhood at any point.
Oh, I have. That's what we're talking about. I have definitely questioned it. I'm not saying you're a man. I'm just saying in your relationship, I think that you take the dominant, domineering role.
Sure.
The lesser of two evils. But, like, yeah. We have some incidents with you. What we know
for money, but that was for money.
I'm sure that matters.
I don't, he was just. I mean, he. I can see putting her on a pedestal, but it was very in your face.
It was off-putting.
All right. So I don't know if people see it.
After 10 minutes, it just got kind of cringy.
So just watching the clips. Is I think Jason Kelce was asking her about football and how she knows football and all that
she's
stuff.
A big
like
fan.
That would be kind of annoying to me. I mean, it's fine. Go ahead, learn football.
The whole thing
need to
would
hear
be annoying
breaking
to
it
me.
Down.
Yeah, I can't.
I'd rather watch Joel Osteen or whatever his name is, the Taliban.
That's the pastor.
I'd rather watch him for 20 minutes. There's no chance I'll ever watch the Kelce podcast with Taylor Swift. All right. No interest.
But I thought you were a Swiftie too. I'm
I like
surprised.
Her music.
You like her
but
legs.
But she's more annoying now because of this Kelce deal.
Yeah, yeah.
They're all annoying.
The oversaturation it gets with people.
By the way, Valdez, I'm with you. On right now Travis Kelce is annoying.
Yeah. Oh, I think he's annoying too, but I you know, different reasons.
I can't stand them.
It was just, it was weird. I've never seen Travis like that before.
Mm-hmm.
It's just very weird.
Because you thought he was kind of a tough guy or, you know, yeah, like a, whatever.
You know what it'd be like? It'd be like if you go over your buddy's house, okay? And say you play golf with him and say he curses like a sailor. Mm-hmm. He's telling these raunchy stories. You know what I mean?
And
then all of a sudden you go over his house, yeah, and then he, like, around his wife and kids, he's just like this different person.
Yeah.
But the one Maybe thing I'll say, and I don't have a great recollection of it, but he had a dating show years ago. Might have just been called Dating Kelce. He's corny. That's part of his personality.
He's definitely corny.
He's definitely corny.
He's definitely corny. He nailed that for sure. All right, I want to move on. I just want to do a couple other things. This actually,
thank you.
This actually jumped out at me. It's not really entertainment, but why not? Everyone uses it to be entertained, I think, for the most part. Alcohol consumption in the U.S., Jason, is on the decline.
I heard that.
Big news. Gallup showed that only 54% of adults report drinking, the lowest in nearly 90 years. Mm-hmm. And it's, I guess they're saying a lot of it is because the word is getting out about truly how harmful it is to your health.
Mm-hmm.
You know, as my son says, and believe me, my son, you know, gets blasted with his friends. But he sits down and he says, Dad, you know, it does nothing for you. It's only terrible for you.
Yeah, there's nothing good about it.
You know what I mean? Young adults in particular are driving the trend. Drinking rates among those aged 18 to 34 dropped significantly over the past two decades. So younger people.
Not drinking.
You know, No.
I'll tell you what. You go to a college campus, you wouldn't believe that number.
No, I know. I'll tell you.
My funny. Kids don't drink.
I think it's.
That's great.
I think it's probably in the. It's not as much 18 to 22. It might be more to that 25 to 34 range. Because the 18 to 22-year-olds are drinking.
Well, it's certainly a lot of them in there in college.
Yes.
But I have a couple nephews. I have one nephew in particular. He basically doesn't drink. My two kids, they like to party. So they're not afraid to have drinks.
Uh-huh.
Okay. My youngest, though, she has, you know, she's 16, so she's not really doing that yet. But I have a feeling she would be, if she was a drinker, she would be a moderate one.
Right.
You know what I mean? I don't see her. But this is what it's like. I've been wanting to talk about this because my son and I were laughing about it.
Mm-hmm.
But when he's around his friend group are all his teammates, right? He says, all they want me to do is get plastered with them. Uh-huh. They're never happy. Like, if I go there, he said, I had buddy from out of town and, you know, one of his teammates, and they're all hanging out. And Stevie was like, yeah, I'm just going to chill this weekend. Yeah, I'm just not going to drink this week. I just want to chill, right? Detox a little bit. One weekend.
Right.
And they're murdering him.
Oh, yeah.
Murdering him. He said he did a party last week in Jersey. He did another party this past weekend in Ocean City. Literally, the boys drinking.
The whole weekend.
They're 24 years old.
The whole weekend.
The whole weekend. Yeah. He's coming home. He's got the Gatorades. He's like, they want him to go out this weekend. They're going to Long Beach Island. And he said, Dad, he says, I don't think I can go. He goes, because they're only happy if I'm getting plastered.
With them, yeah.
With them.
It's and not to that extent.
He likes it too, but he's like, I can't do this every week. These guys are nuts.
It's not to that extent, but you guys have joned on me for years for not drinking.
I'm sure. Well, look, if we're celebrating or we're going out.
I don't joan on you. I don't care.
You just take little out. Jabs. Like, EB's called me a teetotaler maybe a million times
maybe
on the show.
Has.
Okay.
I don't care if you drink or not.
I don't understand. I don't know your drinking habits. I know you drink if you host a party.
I'm just saying that I think
something.
That's what happens is that friend groups
of course.
Peer pressure their friends.
Of course.
Whatever
it's no
they're
different.
Doing.
I think it's kind of ubiquitous for being a guy.
Well, tell him to stay strong and say, no, I ain't going this weekend.
Yeah, he's not. No, he's not. But he's good. Like... He's like, we were just laughing about it. He goes, literally, they're only happy if I'm plastered with them. And he enjoys them. Like,
so if he just has a couple during the night, they just hammer.
Keep feeding them, you know, because they all like, it's young culture.
Mm-hmm.
But hopefully that changes and younger people, you know, not drinking as much. Because I do think at the end of the day, it's not great for any of us, right? Of course.
I'd also think the costs are driving it down a little bit.
The cost of booze? I don't think that's getting in front of the boys. Maybe when you're out and you know, maybe you're out at a bar and you're ordering a ton of drinks.
Yeah, I'm just talking about less consumption.
Yeah.
The costs have gone up.
Yeah,
but 100%.
Yeah, but when you go to how much are beers at Secrets? I don't know. Are they expensive?
Probably freaking $15.
You gotta get a Natty Light.
Yeah,
they're probably doing that. Believe me, they're not drinking expensive stuff.
That's like $6 or $8 for a Natty Light.
Remember, I told you the night before he went someplace where there were dollar Natty Lights. I can't remember where they were. You should find out.
You get a pain in the ass. That'll cost you $18.
Yeah, it's $20. Mm.
That's on top of the cover to just even get in the building.
Yeah, but I think it's good. I think the ultimate story is the health. I think people are obviously becoming more health conscious than ever.
Well, if you go to a restaurant and order, let's just say there's four of you and you ordered a glass of wine or two glasses of wine.
Yeah.
Those glasses of wine are going to be close to 20. A nice restaurant going to be close to $20.
Yeah.
$15 to $20. You should bring a bottle, corking fee, ask them if they have a corking fee. They'll cork it for $30 and you'll save a ton of money.
Right. Well, and that's the one
thing. How expensive wine is. Just glasses of house wine at restaurants.
So I'm trying to be healthier. I've had two drinks in the last 79 days, I think it is. Right?
Hold on.
I did. I had two drinks after a day or two after.
You did?
I
didn't know about that.
I was just with my buddies. Because I told you, I'm not going to go forever.
Was that this past weekend?
It was 2 days after I shot 76.
Oh, so you were celebrating.
I was kind of celebrating. I couldn't do it. I had two drinks.
Two drinks.
That's the occasion.
Is that not worthy? For me, it was worthy. Yeah. For me, it was worthy. Okay. So.
Oh, so you broke the seal. I didn't know you broke the seal.
Yeah, but I only had two. I didn't really have even an urge after.
Mm-hmm.
And it is a lot cheaper when I go out to a restaurant, though.
Of course.
Going out to restaurants like crazy, and I just not ordering drinks.
Of course.
It's definitely hooked you on the bill. Do you know yesterday? Remember I told you we made steak dinners? You missed the segment. You probably didn't hear it. Or maybe you hear it. I don't know.
I heard it while I was driving in.
We made dinner together as a family because my wife was out playing tennis. She asked if we could all jump in. We did. I had to buy steaks for six of us, right? Because it's my three kids and my mom. And my kids are beyond spoiled, okay? Because I'll eat any kind of red meat. I got four New York strips, and then I cheaped out and got like some sirloin, $85
for eating at home.
Yeah,
wow.
Because I had a little extra, but you can't have not enough. Like you got to make sure you have enough.
Mm-hmm.
So I got four New York strips and three number sirloins, which the numbers were. I ate the numbers. I let those spoiled people eat the strips.
Yeah,
those people.
$85.
A lot of money.
Going out to eat's expensive, man.
That was in my house.
I'm just saying, going out. But if you went out to eat,
might have been cheaper.
It would have been. Yeah. It would have been double or triple that.
Yeah.
Well, depending on what they get. Yeah.
If you got New York strips.
Yeah.
I mean, those would be $60 each.
Hey, that's why those boys are going out on Friday and hitting you up for connections.
That's right. They're going to go to Open Road. We'll talk about that.
1-800-636-1067 is the number. It is Open Line Thursday. Your chance to steer the show.
Welcome back. I'm Josh Eyre.
And I'm Nicole Inaiti.
And we're the cooks responsible for all the strange dishes on the internet's most watched daily show, Good Mythical Morning with Rhett and Link, and our own YouTube channel, Mythical Kitchen.
Between the two of us, we've worked almost every weird job the food industry has to offer, and we've developed some pretty strong opinions.
The strongest opinions, Nicole. Opinions so strong they need to be heard on an easily consumable auditory medium.
Does pineapple belong on pizza?
Are boneless wings just poser nuggets?
Is cereal soup?
Follow and listen to A Hot Dog is a Sandwich.
Free on the Odyssey app and everywhere you get your podcasts.
Act Chunky's coming to you live on 106.7 The Fan and the Team 980. Story in the New York Post about one thing that couples do that bring them closer together, which is supposed to be a nasty habit. I don't know. Maybe it's just part of life. It's gossiping. Do you gossip with your wife?
About what?
Could be anything. See, I think it depends on your definition of gossip. Yeah. Like if you talk about your wife's work. That's not necessarily gossip. My wife gives me all these names. I can't keep track of it.
She probably doesn't want you telling me what she gossips about, just so you know.
Is that considered gossip?
I would not talk about what my wife gossips about.
No, she's just talking about her work.
I know, but they probably don't want to know that she's gossiping.
Yes, we do. We talk about people in the neighborhood. We talk about friends. We talk about our people's kids. 100%.
Yeah, 100%
I mean, is that gossip?
I said I think it depends on your definition of gossip. Like, if you're listening to your wife talk about what she's doing at work, is that gossip? I don't think that's gossip.
No, it's gossip if she's trashing.
I think
her boss
gossip, there's an underlying
gossip
notion
means,
that you're talking S.
Yeah, you think the boss
about
is
other
plugging
people.
The secretary or something.
Yeah,
that's gossip.
Yeah,
you know what I mean. That's gossip. If you just say, you know, it's been a hard day at work or something, or you say that, you know, Sally wears this short skirt, like
she's trying to get a promotion.
Yeah, yeah. Like that's
gossip. Maybe we don't gossip.
Yeah, that's gossip.
It's more like, what was your day? And then I hear the, you know, all the details of the events she's planning.
I would say, and I don't know if this is true for a lot, probably true for a lot of parents, most of our conversation revolves around our kids, managing our kids.
Yep.
And trying to make sure we don't go bankrupt. It's just like managing everyone, just managing the kids, their schedules, when you're going to see them, what this kid needs to do, what that kid, you know, that, you know, even though two of them are basically out of the house.
I would agree with that.
Then my third one, we're still knee deep in that one.
But we have some interesting people in our neighborhood, and we do gossip. You want to call it gossip, we talk about that. My wife and I.
See, now you
and,
guys go
and,
for...
And other neighbors that we talk about, we gossip
together.
I'm not
really that into
my neighbors.
You
go for the dog walks, right?
Of course.
Together?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, sometimes. I mean, sometimes I'll take her.
So that's kind of natural, because you're going to walk by the homes and...
Yeah, but we also do, you know, we walk together and we talk about stuff. Yeah.
I mean, I will say, listen,
talk
I'm not
people.
Above, if I go for a walk with my wife, and actually we don't walk a lot, I try to do a little bit more of that. We don't do that. That's not something we do together. If we do that and I see someone, I will make fun of a person as they walk by me.
Does it
100%.
Does it say why? Does it
like,
say
you know
why?
What I mean? I'll be judgmental and I will, like, look at that pig, or what are they wearing, or... You know, yes, I am a mean person that way.
Valdez, I think the premise of the study is basically just that it's just bringing you together.
You communicate.
Anything that brings you together is good, even if it's what they dubbed a nasty habit. They dubbed gossiping as a nasty habit, but if you do it with your partner, it actually benefits the relationship.
Drabby, do you and your wife talk about neighbors, gossip about neighbors that you either like or dislike?
I got no problem gossiping.
Yeah.
It's a character flaw.
I think it's pretty natural.
I get a kick out of it.
I think most people do.
It's nothing. Just killing time.
Yeah, but I don't really talk about my neighbors. I don't. That's not in my life.
My neighbors, I don't know. But
you guys maybe are more social than I am.
I'll spread rumors
about your neighbors.
I mean, whatever. I mean, I hear something, I say something. Like,
yeah.
You know, I'm a repeater.
Right. But I think all of us are.
Yeah. I don't, it's a character flaw.
I know
flaw,
for a fact, if someone tells me something that you can't tell anybody, I'm going to tell them, somebody.
You are notorious for that.
I mean,
on the air,
you've done it
a few times.
Well, I don't mean to. I wouldn't mean to do that. But I'm sure I've done it inadvertently. But if someone tells me, don't say something privately, I will probably tell someone close to me if it's juicy.
Yeah.
If it's juicy, of course. It would have to
be really hard.
It would have to be like a real, like a murderous type secret for me to not tell someone.
Yeah.
It would have to be, you know what I mean?
Right.
If you tell me something, but you can't tell anybody, and it's like, say something like, I don't know, Drabby saw something in the break room or something and saw something inappropriate or something, I'm definitely going to go tell people.
Oh, if my wife,
you know what I mean?
Eric, if my wife tells me something, and she says, don't tell anybody. Right. This is between me and you. About somebody?
Yeah.
You think I'm not texting somebody very close to me within 10 seconds?
Yeah, right.
100%.
I am.
Yeah. I think it's a character flaw most people have.
Because I just like to get reactions.
And it's a character flaw most people
have. But isn't it known that if you tell someone, they're going to tell their significant other?
Yeah, that's a freebie.
That's kind of well known, right?
That's a freebie. Like, definitely, if someone told me something, I don't know, it's never happened to me before. But if someone said to me, literally, like, hey, dude, on down low, my wife and I, you're getting a divorce or something. But don't tell anybody because we don't like to tell the kids first. You know, I would immediately tell my wife. I mean, 100% immediate, right? I mean,
that's gossip. That's
literally never happened to me. I literally created a scenario, but I would do that.
I've got a close friend that's in the middle of a divorce now.
Right.
And he tells me things. Hey,
don't tell anybody.
Of course I'm telling them. Of course,
doesn't
telling,
shock me.
I mean, they're friends of him too. I mean, they kind of know what's going on. But of course, I am.
Of
According to the study,
I got to talk to somebody about it.
According to the study, say negatively gossiping.
It's a burden keeping that in, isn't it, Jason?
It hurts. It says here, hey, you're actually doing good.
It hurts my stomach.
It says here, negatively gossiping with one's romantic partner on the way home from a party could signal that the couple's bond is stronger than with their friends at the party, while positively gossiping could prolong the fun experiences.
Mm-hmm.
I think it kind of depends on your definition of gossip. You might be gossiping. Like, actually, your story about the... Is that even gossip if somebody tells you they're getting a divorce and you tell your wife?
Well, they say, don't tell anybody. I haven't even told the kids yet.
That's violating a trust.
And confidence.
I don't know. I'm just creeping something out of my own side.
Yes. Yeah. Yes.
I'll say this, and I hesitate to say this because my mom could be... my mom lives with us, and so crazy stuff happens when your mom... Is it, you know, and she's in her 89th year or whatever. Crazy stuff happens. So we will say, did you see what mom said today about, like, we kind of gossip about those types of things. Mm-hmm. Does that count? I don't know.
Mom, are you building your bond?
You should have seen what your mother did earlier today.
Yeah, that's, like, you're gossiping. You know, yeah.
That's on a lower level. Yeah, I would say it is.
Yeah. I'll get a text. You should see what your mom's doing right now or something. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
But, yeah. I mean,
how does JP not participate at all in gossip?
He does.
I didn't say I don't participate.
He does. He just doesn't know he's doing it. He doesn't think about it as gossip.
Yeah. I just don't do it about my neighbors because I don't really interact with my neighbors.
Yeah.
I just pull in my car. I'm in the house. I'm in the backyard or I leave. I don't really interact with the neighbors. They're all nice.
I interact.
I'm a waving person.
I interact with a lot of neighbors, but. I don't know that I have real gossip on him. Like, whoa, did you see him walking his dog?
I probably would have gossiped back. Remember I used to do the rock and roll party and then we'd have everyone would all dress up and like.
Hey, you're Kid Rock.
I did Britney Spears' boyfriend, Kevin Federline.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
And I did Paul. I did, my wife was Yoko. And I was John Lennon. but yeah, then I would just make fun of people and what they were wearing and stuff.
JP actually, he does gossip. He does, now that I think about it.
Yeah, like what topic?
Well, if you like have, he'll take a little shots at his friends, you know, if you like know mutually.
Oh, really?
He does. Yeah. Everybody does.
I didn't say that I didn't. I was just didn't necessarily, I think that people's definition of gossip can be different.
Yeah. Gossip's usually just talking about people, other people behind their back. Mm-hmm. That's gossip.
I think it would be gossip. Honestly, maybe it's just kind of pathetic, but like, my wife and I and our kids are so, and my mom and our family, like we're so consumed with our family stuff. We don't do a lot of socializing, actually. A little bit of social. We'll do socializing when we're on the road with a volleyball team.
Sure.
That's socializing. And I enjoy
that. It becomes hard when you have activities.
But I don't like we used to way more meet other couples for dinners and that kind of stuff. I don't really do that at this stage of my life right now. Because I'm.
You just don't have the time.
I probably have the time, but I'm. If I'm not traveling, I'm psyched to be home.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Not psyched.
But if you're talking about one of the kids on one of your, you know, your daughter's teams.
Oh, yeah. We probably would.
And if you're talking about schools that are interested in that person.
Yeah, yeah. Oh, yeah.
That's gossip.
100%.
Yeah.
100%.
1-800-636-1067 is the number. It is an open line Thursday. Your chance to steer the show. We're the Junkies, coming right back.
I'm Josh Eyre.
And I'm Nicole Inaiti.
And we're the cooks responsible for all the strange dishes on the internet's most watched daily show, Good Mythical Morning with Rhett and Link, and our own YouTube channel, Mythical Kitchen.
Between the two of us, we've worked almost every weird job the food industry has to offer, and we've developed some pretty strong opinions.
The strongest opinions, Nicole. Opinions so strong they need to be heard on an easily consumable auditory medium.
Does pineapple belong on pizza?
Are boneless wings just poser nuggets?
Is cereal soup?
Follow and listen to A Hot Dog is a Sandwich
free on the Odyssey app and everywhere you get your podcasts.